beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen.
All right, listen to this low IQ liberal on MSNBC talking about why Donald Trump went to the National Association of Black Journalists conference. I mean, I don't know how these people could be any lower, but they'll find a way. Listen to this in clip 16.
Now that we're over the shock of what happened yesterday, because it was shocking even though you expected what was going to happen.
We're shocked.
What do you make of it, Mara? What was going on there? What was Donald Trump's goal and intent when he sat down at the NABJ?
I mean, sure. I surely believe that he went with the intention of showing himself and his hardest core right-wing supporters that he is fully ready to put black people in their place, particularly black women. You know, I think as weird as this was to some people, it's not weird to me. It's familiar. Right. I think for a lot of black Americans, the experience of somebody saying to you, a white person saying to you, oh, you think you can be fully American? You think you deserve this job? You're just a DEI hire.
Now, let's just pause it. They're the ones that called her the DEI hire. They started that rhetoric. We proved that earlier in the show with the receipts. But let me explain what's actually going on here. Oh, what was Trump doing there? What was he really trying to do? Well, he's running for president, in case you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know, but he's running for president right now. So he went to a big convention in Chicago, and he wanted to talk about his campaign issues and policies. So that might be why. But let's look at the projection here, because that's what's going on. She says Trump went to put black people in their place, black women in their place. But what's actually going on? What actually happened when that ABC hack attacked Donald Trump? What happened when Maya Gray goes on MSNBC and makes these ludicrous claims? What's actually happening? That's black women trying to put the white man in his place. That's what's happening here. See how they do this? So whatever they say, it's almost totally foolproof. Whatever they tell you, reverse it, and that's the truth. Donald Trump did not go there to put black people in their place. That's what Democrats do. Which, what is the black man's place? What is the black woman's place? Voting Democrat. See? No, Donald Trump went there because he got invited. And he's running for president. Why didn't Kamala go? So everything else that follows is black women telling the white man to stay in his place. Maya Gray is the black woman telling the white man to stay in his place. That's what's actually going on here. That's enough of that. Listen to what Donald Trump says about Mark Zuckerberg in clip 17.
So Mark Zuckerberg calls me. First of all, he called me a few times. He called me after the event and he said that was really amazing. It was very brave. And you know, and he actually announced he's not going to support a Democrat because he can't, because he respected me for what I did that day. I think what I did maybe was a norm. To me, it was a normal response. But I was called by Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, the day before, on this same subject. And he actually apologized. He said they made a mistake, et cetera, et cetera. And they're correcting the mistake. Google, nobody called from Google.
So we got a statement at Fox Business from Google. They said this fact check was initially applied to a doctored photo showing the Secret Service agents smiling. And in some cases, our systems incorrectly applied that fact check to the real photo. It has been fixed. We apologize for the mistake. Both companies have been under fire all week.
Okay, so let me explain briefly the importance here as we're running out of time and I need to give out the phone number. The people that claimed it was fake put out a doctored photo of the Secret Service agent smiling and laughing to say, see, the whole thing was fake. So the AI algorithm was then censoring all those images, even the real ones. So Zuckerberg calls Trump to apologize for that and says he's not voting for Democrats. The guy that helped them steal an election is no longer supporting Democrats. I mean, that's kind of big news. What else might we get from Zuckerberg in the next 90 days? All right, phone lines open, 877-789-2539. Numbers on the screen, 877-789-2539. Your call's coming up.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Lifeline. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
Censorship. Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
Okay, taking your calls coming up. Couple other news stories to cover before we do that, and then we've got Anya Parampil coming up with big geopolitical news. Folks, you ever get a good night's sleep and just the next day just feel amazing? That's kind of how it was for me this morning. Almost a perfect night's sleep for me last night. Fell asleep at about midnight and woke up, didn't even need an alarm. At 7:50, I was going for a full 8 hours, had my alarm set for 8, and then I woke up at 7:50 just like totally feeling refreshed. Man, there is nothing like a good night's sleep, especially compared to if you don't get a good night's sleep. And so, man, let me just tell you, getting a good night's sleep for me is just so imperative. I know it is for you too. There's just no better feeling than feeling refreshed, energized, ready for the day after a good night's sleep. But sometimes, even if you get to bed early, you're tossing, you're turning, you just can't get that good night's sleep that you want. Well, we have a product, Good Night Sleep. It's called Good Night Sleep for a reason. Good Night Sleep at InfoWarsStore.com so that you can get a good night's sleep. It's 25% off right now, part of the InfoWars MD line, which, by the way, the entire product line of InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com, it's all 25% off while supplies last. But good night sleep. I'm telling you, folks, it's just, there's nothing like getting a good night's sleep. It's one of the most important things to having a good, solid, productive day. And so if you have problems tossing and turning and you just can't get that good night's sleep, and even if you are in bed on time, you just can't get that restful, deep sleep that you need, try Good Night Sleep from InfoWarsStore.com and you will not regret it. And you'll wake up feeling nice and refreshed, like I did this morning, ready for the day. Good night's sleep, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, before we start getting into these calls, a couple other headlines here. Big Second Amendment victory in New Jersey. Federal judge rules New Jersey AR-15 ban unconstitutional. You hear that, Kamala Harris? You hear that, Joe Biden? It's not going to stop them. They don't care about the Constitution. But it will be unconstitutional if and when they do it. It was always. So good for that New Jersey judge. The Secret Service issues just keep getting worse, going back and forth with local police on whose responsibility was the roof. They're rejecting FOIA requests. And then the FBI declassifies 950 pages on suspected Fed front group Patriot Front. Nearly every page is fully redacted. I mean, the headline from Gateway put it. I mean, folks, look, that's not an exaggeration. If we doc him this, that's their... This is what they've released on the Patriot Front. It's just blank pages. So, yeah. And look, that's not to cast assumptions or aspersions over anybody that might be involved or whatever. But I mean, if you ever wanted proof that there's feds in there entrapping people and trying to get you to do something stupid to blame Trump, there's your sign right there. Okay? So, just be warned. Just know that's going on. Man, oh man. Oh, there's a big farmers protest going on in Idaho that for whatever reason nobody wants to cover. Farmers use tractors to show the Idaho governor They need answers about water curtailment. Yeah, they're trying to shut down the farms. They don't want you to eat. They don't want there to be independent farmers, because if there's independent farmers, well, then they might just want to do business locally. And the government can't have that. They got to shut down all the independent farmers, so they're shutting off their energy. They're shutting off their water. They're trying to starve people out, because our government loves you. And when you are forced to eat the bugs, that's because they love you, okay? Just know that. When they're starving you out and making you eat bug paste, it's because the government loves you. Trump announced his plan to eliminate taxes on Social Security checks. Well, why would Social Security checks even get taxed in the first place? You could argue, should they even exist? But, oh, hey, here's your government money. By the way, we got to take some of that back. Senator Marshall officially launches investigation against Google for alleged election interference, accused of rigging search results to prioritize left-wing propaganda. Well, let's see if Senator Roger Marshall does anything about it. But it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, okay, yeah, right move. You're absolutely right. That's going on. But what is going to be the result? I need results. Same thing with Secret Service agents or FBI directors or deputy directors committing perjury. Do something. Do something. All right, here we go. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to G Child in Michigan. G Child in Michigan, go ahead.
Mr. Schroyer, greetings. Peace be with you, patriots, one and all. Bug paste sounds delicious. Maybe it should be on the InfoWars MD line or something. You could make it a new toothpaste.
Well, I think Kamala, because that's what her policies will do, she should do nothing but eat bug paste for the rest of the campaign to show she really cares.
Well, I'm grateful we're all on the same page with that. Let me just jump to it. I got a homie online who is a bomb producer, has recently watched the Kamala Harris campaign for president launch. Kamala Harris put out her new campaign video, like a minute and 20 seconds. Well, this is so timely, and it touched me deeply, and I figured your crew and those who watch your magnificent program here would appreciate. He did a truth version of that. As we know, both, you know, their side loves to tell you one thing, but they're doing the exact opposite. We know that, right? Well, he took her video and reversed it, flipped the script, and you all would benefit greatly from watching it because you'd understand it and appreciate it. It's called, well, my homeboy's Joe Nation on YouTube, and the video is Kamala Harris for President parody campaign video. So it's the literal mirror of what Kamala Harris and their campaign put out, and I think it's an anthem for those of us who see what's happening.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll look into that, and maybe we'll pull it in when we come back next week, because I already got a guest coming up and I want to take more calls, so maybe we'll play that. But we do have this Kamala campaign video. Maybe you've seen this. If you're watching at home, you'll get a better clue of what's happening here. But this is also a new Kamala campaign video in clip 13. So there you go. All right. Thank you for the call, G-Child. We'll find that video. I think the crew might have already found it. How long is it, guys? Well, hold on to that. Let me take another call. Let's go to AD in Minnesota. AD, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hello, my man. So, hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say Governor Walz around here, he's known as Tyrant Tim. The guy is a real turd sandwich. He overseen $500 million of fraud from programs that he's sponsored, and well, you might be aware that they pushed through legislation and finally ended up getting ruled on by the Minnesota Supreme Court, stating that you have to the obligation or duty to retreat if somebody comes up and tries to rob you at gunpoint. They're saying that you have to retreat instead of pulling your sidearm. So this guy would be.
How bad is that? Is that? Because I mean, we know it's really bad in New York and California. The organized retail theft. And they're just told, no, if somebody starts stealing from your store, you don't do anything about it. Is it the same in Minnesota, too?
Retail, I mean, all retail places are pretty much gone. But, you know, in the South Minneapolis, there's an average of 10 carjackings. You know, it's ridiculous, you know. I scroll through X pretty much all day long, and I'm watching you guys, and I subscribe to some Crime Watch things, and South Minneapolis and North Minneapolis are pretty much, you can't go there, not without expecting to be robbed or carjacked or something of that.
You know, isn't it amazing? It's such an amazing phenomenon that you're talking about here, and everybody knows it exists, and it's not just Minneapolis, it's Chicago, it's Baltimore, it's St. Louis, it's so many of these areas. The Democrats conquer these areas politically, they get all the people voting Democrat, and then they just completely abandon them, it's over. Just, oh, we got your vote, you're done, we don't care. Crime, poverty, fine, we don't give a damn, we just got your vote.
Right, but, well, conservatives are going to be coming up Minnesota in droves this year, that's for sure.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'd like to see Minnesota go red, but we'll see. If they choose, that might be, well, maybe you're onto something, and that's why they might eventually decide to go with Walls for the vice presidency pick, soft on crime. You know the Democrats love that. Retreat before brandishing, Minnesota Supreme Court self-defense ruling, repeat before brandishing. So that's good. So, hey, don't you know, the criminal that's coming up to you with a gun is the good guy. You're the bad guy. So if somebody comes up to you with a gun threatening you, stand down, you dirty American. All right. AD, thank you for the call. Let's take a call from Hunter in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hunter, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, the reason I'm calling is because I was going to explain why I'm a Republican, but I'm going to vote for Harris.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, she has unburdened us by what can be.
You feel unburdened?
Yeah. I mean, I had an extra 40% of my income. I had no idea what I was going to do with it. And now it's absolutely, between, you know, Harris and Biden, it's absolutely been taken care of.
Well, and you know, since you are a Republican voter, you're obviously a racist. So now, if you go out and vote for Harris, you've defeated racism. You're no longer racist, right?
I don't know if I am or not, because she's transnational. Because, I mean, he started out as Indian and became African-American. So I'm not sure.
So you're not sure. Okay, maybe it's still. Well, maybe you can decide. Are you voting for the black Kamala Harris or the Indian Kamala Harris or the Asian Kamala Harris? Which one are you voting for?
Well, I think the Asian's a little bit smarter. I think I'm going to go with that route.
Ooh. Well, I think you know, still voting for the Asian Kamala, you're fighting racism.
Power to the people, you know.
Any other reasons you'd like to talk about why you would vote for Queen Kamala?
Well, she's Mamala. I mean, she's.
Well, maybe you don't believe in. Maybe you know. You probably don't believe in democracy.
I like democracy when it's surrounded by socialism.
Well, all the Democrat delegates in Pennsylvania went for Kamala, even though she didn't get a single vote in Pennsylvania. Not even one.
Well, she's polling Venezuela. See, it is a perfect election. It's perfect. And I think that we're going to have another perfect election in November.
It's perfect as long as the socialist wins. It's perfect as long as the Democrat wins. Of course it is, Hunter. All right, I appreciate your good humor on this Friday. Let's go to Too Smart by Half in California. We are doing AIM screen names now. Too Smart by Half, go ahead.
Thank you, Harrison. By the way, you always do a great job. And I spoke to Harrison on Tuesday. Alex is obviously the king of the he's the captain of the battleship. And by the way, everybody go to InfoWarsStore.com and buy the toothpaste, buy everything. You're going to love it. I've been doing it for decades. So here's what I wanted to share with you, Owen. By the way, this last caller was great. And I thought it was, you know, you brought up the Queen Kamala. Well, she's the dancing queen. You can see that on the TikTok, right? She's got all those TikTok videos of her dancing around. Does that make sense? She can be dancing Queen Kamala.
I'm surprised she didn't go out there and twerk it up with Meg the Stallion.
Well, she at least put her out there. So here's the thing. Here's what I shared with Harrison on Monday. On Tuesday this past, because of the Monday phone call. I couldn't get through. It's going to be Mark Kelly. It's going to be her VP, and I'll tell you why. She, and just like I told the screeners on Harrison's show on last Tuesday, she is a Team Obama person from back in 2012, because in 2013, when Obama was president, he was out here in California. And by the way, I'm a gold and silver dealer, and you know, it's a dual purpose. I mean, when she becomes president and it's Vice President Mark Kelly, I'm going to make even more money than I made in the last few years with O'Biden ruining this country. But it's a double-edged sword because I got grandkids and I don't want the whole country destroyed. My point is going to be Mark Kelly, because what they're going to do is they're going to neutralize the whole thing when Trump, in the hard election time, when it comes up that Trump got shot in the ear, Mark Kelly's wife, Gabby Giffords, got shot in the brain at an outdoor rally by a gunman.
When was that, like the 90s?
No. That was early 2000. You have the second best team, or you have Harrison's team. Your teams are all the best. They can look it up real quick. Gabby Giffords got shot in the brain, got shot in the head at an outdoor rally by a gunman, and then she lived, and she's disabled. So they're going to...
I'll tell you what, that is an interesting angle. That is an interesting angle of deflecting off the Trump assassination attempt by trotting Gabby Gifford out there, and she's the survivor of the assassination. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do, I'm telling you.
2011. It was 2011, for the record.
There you go. Okay, and then in 2013, Obama, as president, was out here in California. I've lived here over 62 years in my life, because it's my whole life. I was watching him spray. He was out here, and that's when he called, I like to call her Chlamydia Harris, but, you know, queen, the dancing queen. She was the AG, and he said she was, and I thought it was just the most talented, but then your Harrison team found it out. It was the best-looking attorney general of all 50 attorney generals. He pumped her up in 2013 when he was president. The point is, she's a Marxist. We know that, right? And Obama, in my opinion, and I think you may agree at least somewhat, he's been running the show.
It's really about. I want to take another call, but let me just respond to that briefly. I think what it's really about is everybody knows Obama has the most influence right now over the Democrats and can drum up the most support in Democrat circles in D.C., on the road. Voters, it's still Barack Obama. Nobody can really do it like Barack can. I think Kamala is smart enough to know that she can't fake it through the presidency. You can fake it through the vice presidency. You can avoid interviews. You can do the word salad and be an unserious person, but you can't do that as president. Nobody wants to work for this woman. She's a bully, as former employees of her vice presidency office have described her, and that's one of the more kind things they've said about her, is that she's a bully. She's unbearable. So she knows she's going to need Obama's influence to win, and she's going to need the Obama aid team to help her not look like a complete idiot. So I think there's been some backroom dealing going on between Kamala and Obama to do what needs to be done to cross the finish line. All right, let's go to Miss Lou in California. Miss Lou, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Ellen. I'm actually in Florida. But I wanted to remind you that Biden is the one who headed up the bill to tax seniors on Social Security.
Yes, and Trump said he would eliminate it. Yes.
Right, right. It was Biden. But the second thing is, I want to tell you, Trevor Loudon, who's an international expert, he left New Zealand because it was going communist, and he has been on every conservative everything across the board. He's an excellent researcher. He did a video on X just recently. I posted it around. I posted it to James O'Keefe, and he explains fully from the moment she got into politics in California through Brown and, you know, everything else. She, and I totally agree with you about Obama propping her up, but there's a reason for all of this, and Diana West covers it in the book, The Red Thread. She is completely CCP all the way, which is why the Chinese love insertion elections versus real elections, hence Maduro and Lula, okay? So this is the same insert into politics playbook that they love to play and now own South America. So Mexico now has a CCP-owned communist leader. This is all the spread. It's the global communist movement, but the CCP is the head of the dragon. Russia's involved, Iran, they're all part of the gig, same country club.
Well, I would pause you right there. I think the two biggest influences over American politics are China and Israel. I don't really think anybody's even on the board in comparison on the scoreboard. But when it comes to these other countries, I don't really see them. I think they want to do square deals. Now, I'm not saying Iran doesn't hate our guts and call for our deaths and everything else. The only reason they do that is because we fund and support Israel. That's the only reason why Iran has a beef with us. If we weren't involved with Israel, they wouldn't give a damn about us. But having said that, there was some big developments geopolitically on that situation, and I thank you for the call. Russia, Iran, and India have just struck a major deal for trade with a trade shipment route that goes from Russia to India and through Iran. And Iran is also signing deals with India to do trade in their port, one of the biggest ports in that region. So there is a lot of geopolitical shifting going on right now. And my problem is, even forget about Kamala Harris being a communist or whatever, it's an empty suit at the table. Major geopolitical decisions are being made. Major geopolitical shifts are happening. The petrodollar, the BRICS system, just a total mix-up now of ally and partnerships and trade deals. And all of this is going to be going on. And we're going to have Kamala Harris, an empty suit and an empty brain, who probably won't even show up to the deals. I would much rather have Donald Trump when these deals are going down to put us in the best position possible. Not Kamala, but we got a big guest coming up, Anya Parampil, to talk more geopolitics on the other side.
There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there, and the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts. Our immune systems, our vitality, it's so important, but not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. And by just going to that link, no promo code has to be put in, nothing, you get 25% off right off the top by going there. Now, it would take me 20 minutes to tell you everything about this amazing product, but you need to go read about it for yourself. And this is what I call a total 360 win. It's the highest quality, it's a great price, and it supports the InfoWar. OptimalHuman.com/Alex, 25% off right off the top, and it funds the InfoWar and empowers your body, your stamina, your energy, your health. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to OptimalHuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric, or whether it's natural sleep aid, or whether it's saw palmetto with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breast. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD.
And if you can just stitch into that somehow, Alex, the ongoing accusation that not only you might be controlled opposition or I'm controlled opposition, that even a figure like Elon Musk, due to his various billion-dollar contracts through SpaceX or Tesla or whatever it is, can't truly be the renegade that many of us believe him to be.
He's devastating them every day with hundreds of millions of views, with transgenderism and open borders and world government and carbon taxes and depopulation and replacement migration. And they're, I mean, you can't argue with energy to energy. It's a mathematical equation. He's literally devastating them. And I'm supposed to sit back and go, I'm a Pharisee to Christ. You know what? You're not perfect. You're going to hell. I'm literally supposed to sit back and watch devastation of the enemy. Like they are shitting their pants and go, I could have done it better. Great. Get on the field. Show us what you'll do. Stop bitching. Show me what you can do instead of claiming everything is controlled. You say I'm with the devil? No. Those of you saying there's no hope, those of you saying Christ isn't real, those of you saying God didn't call us to victory, those of you saying that we've given a spirit of overcoming and victory, not of weakness, when the enemy comes like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. You are the Satanist. I love Jesus Christ. I want human victory throughout the stars. And any of you saying that I serve Satan are servants of Satan, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Joining me now from the Gray Zone with their great team over there and the great geopolitical coverage they do is Anya Parampil. And I wanted to get her on today to talk about some of the developments in Israel, some of the developments in Venezuela, and just the larger geopolitical issues happening all around the world. I guess we'll start with Venezuela. And I didn't realize this until today when I was just looking into some of your recent coverage. You actually published a book in May, Corporate Coup, Venezuela, and the End of the U.S. Empire. So you were way ahead of the curve on the situation developing in Venezuela. Just kind of give me the lowdown. I mean, basically, it's total chaos in the streets, civil war. We've got what appears to be a stolen election, Joe Biden style, but perhaps there's something else going on. What is the role of Western intelligence, and what's really happening on the ground in Venezuela? Anya Parampil.
Thank you so much for having me today, Owen. You know, Venezuela is a country that gets talked a lot about in the United States. It's basically just demonized as a socialist dictatorship, and we don't hear anything else. But I think Americans would be surprised to know, for example, when it comes to voting in Venezuela, I've gone and observed the actual process there. During the last legislative elections, I actually was present and witnessed how it works. And while there may be on the surface some comparisons to be made to what happened in the United States in 2020, let me just give you a breakdown of the Venezuelan process if you go to vote. First, you have to present a physical photo ID. So imagine that. Second, in order to activate your ballot, there's an electronic scan of your fingerprint that you have to put through. Then after you vote on this machine, which, yes, it's an electronic machine, but unlike in the United States, they are not connected to the internet, you're given a physical receipt. You're an actual physical ballot, paper ballot, that you drop onto a secure box on site, sign your name to make sure you oversaw that process. And then that physical vote tally is automatically audited against the electronic vote tally in order to assuage fears that there was tampering. Now, that's the process. So it's pretty foolproof in terms of fraud. That's not to say that there haven't been claims made by the opposition this time around, which, to be honest, this has happened every time there's been an election in Venezuela. The opposition doesn't recognize the results unless they win. And they have won in the past legislative victories, and those are the only elections that they actually respect or recognize. This time around, they openly said that unless they won, they weren't going to recognize the results. And so at this point, it's at a standstill in terms of the vote. Because of the claims of fraud, Maduro, the president, has turned the audit over to the Supreme Court, which now is going to look at all of the data collected by parties present for the vote tally in order to audit the vote. So basically, all of the parties that participated had witnesses present for the vote tally in all of these various localities so that the parties can collect their data. And that is how the Supreme Court will move forward with the vote. When it comes to the situation in the streets, it looks as if the actual violence and the riots that started at the beginning of this week have died down. Stores are open, restaurants are open, and streets seem calm. And again, this is something that has happened repeatedly since 2014. You see these masked, I say in my book, actually, that, you know, liberals here in the United States act like January 6th was something more than a protest, and that the police weren't opening the doors and letting people go in. And, you know, they act like the QAnon shaman is the greatest threat to U.S. democracy. But what happens in Venezuela when these protests break out really make January 6th look like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, because you have actual masked and armed rioters that set up barricades in the street, actually attempt to prevent the flow of food, gas, and supplies around the country. They've actually fired their weapons at National Guard and police troops in the streets. There were dozens, at least 20 soldiers injured during clashes this week. So you never see that kind of scenario play out in the United States. When we make a big deal about something like January 6th, it's really... It's kind of a projection, actually, of what the United States does in other countries, including Venezuela in this case, because I document in my book how the groups involved in these protests and the figures at the forefront of the Venezuelan opposition this time around, particularly Maria Corina Machado, have all received U.S. State Department funding. And actually, Maria Corina was even hanging out with George W. Bush in the White House back in 2005. So the fact that she's stuck around this long as the poster child, the face of the Venezuelan opposition, the U.S.-backed opposition, is quite impressive. But ultimately, if the opposition's numbers had any basis in reality, if they did win a blowout election, as they claim, then I think we would start to see that reflected in the military, in the rank-and-file position of the Venezuelan troops. And the fact that the military hasn't switched and is still, as they have repeatedly throughout the past decade, anytime they're confronted with a test to their loyalty, they've stayed behind Maduro. And so I think now the question is, will Maria Corina Machado end up in Miami or a prison cell in Venezuela? Because, you know, in other countries, Russia, for example, she may have not even gotten this far.
Well, you know, the military angle is curious to me, and it's so hard when you're living in America to get the reality of the situation, right? Because there's a lot of propaganda that's here in America, and there's a lot of people that, and it might even be a language barrier issue where they just report false information. So I kind of have a hard time dealing with the military aspect of it as well, because I mean, I would say I'm confident that Joe Biden only won because of illegal votes and shenanigans that happened, but yet there was no military action to protect Donald Trump. So I don't know how much of that really goes into play here. But I am curious how much, because the only thing we really see in comparison in America, I think, in recent history has to be really when the left is rioting in the streets, you know, I would say specifically the George Floyd riots most recently come to mind, but even those pale in comparison to, I think, what we were seeing in Venezuela. How much of these protests are political versus economic?
Well, that's an interesting question because, well, I would agree actually that the protests or the riots that we saw in 2020 in response to George Floyd's death are more comparable to what we are seeing in Venezuela than the January 6th protests, because you didn't see January 6ers targeting private businesses or public government buildings the way that's what's happened in Venezuela. Actually, they've burned down businesses. You had videos of women who actually were supportive of the protests and supportive of the opposition showing up and realizing that her shop had been burned down by these anti-government demonstrators in the street. At this point, this past week, I would say that according to the Venezuelan government, the confessions that they've pulled from figures that they've arrested, that a lot of these people are just paid criminal gang members that are sent out in order to create chaos. They're not even political actors at this point, because it's not a political battle. It's a street battle in order to, you know, create some sort of situation where there's military intervention or the Venezuelan military switches, defects. And I mean, as I said, this has happened many times over the past few years, and the government always points to these violent groups and criminal gangs as the main player behind the instability. Well, since the Biden administration enacted a temporary protected status for Venezuelan migrants, and since under Obama, the combined Trump and Obama policy of issuing sanctions that were essentially a surgical strike on Venezuela's economy, a lot of those people that were either economic migrants or involved in criminal activity have come to the United States. And that's just a reality. This was a planned strategy of the Venezuelan opposition that lobbied Trump and then Biden in order to get a temporary protected status for migrants while deliberately targeting Venezuela's economy with unprecedented U.S. sanctions. And actually, a report just came out in the Washington Post that cited Treasury officials going on the record saying that they personally warned Trump administration officials, not necessarily Trump himself, but national security team officials, that the sanctions that Bolton had crafted and that they were attempting to roll out in Venezuela and that they eventually did would undoubtedly result in a human catastrophe and migrant crisis on the U.S. southern border. And Bolton goes on the record in that article saying that he thought that was actually a good thing, that that would help the U.S. regime change gambit in Venezuela by putting pressure on the regime. And then in the meantime, you have figures working on behalf of the Venezuelan opposition in Washington, D.C., the kind of people that I identify and write about in my book, who want these migrants to come because then they are going to create a base that is kind of like a mini Israel lobby, that is a base of foreigners that come here and are one-issue voters. And they're very powerful in Florida. They may become very powerful in New York and other states now that they're here. And the one issue will be regime change. You have to use U.S. taxpayer dollars and U.S. might in order to overthrow the government in Venezuela and return this group of people to power over there. Because apparently, even though they're in the United States, they don't have a stake here. They're more interested in just getting their hands back on the reins of power in Venezuela. And so as an American citizen, I think we should just, if I were running U.S. foreign policy in Washington right now, I'd be asking what is the most secure and stable way forward for Venezuela, one that avoids the continued kind of crisis that has led to mass migration. But what we see instead is a cynical game where you have people who want to destroy that country and then don't really see any problem importing an entire class of people here that can be used really to hold our political system hostage.
So what is this all about? Because somebody like me looks at Venezuela, and I mean, generally speaking, and you know, okay, maybe maybe my heart goes out to the Venezuelan people that are dealing with all of this right now, but I'm saying I don't want anything to do with it at all. I don't want the United States to be involved in any way, shape, or form. Let the Venezuelan people figure it out for themselves. We got our own problems. But how do you communicate to somebody like me who's just an avid anti-socialist, and yet the Maduro administration certainly has had socialist policies that have hurted the economy down there? So what is the understanding for the American people that will just, like me, that will have the knee-jerk reaction of, well, he's a dirty socialist, he's taken everything public, so whatever, he's no good anyway. And I guess kind of the follow-up to that, or maybe the important angle is, I mean, how much of this is just straight up about oil?
Well, I'll tackle the first part of your question first, which is to say that Venezuela, yes, it's demonized as a socialist government. It calls itself, it describes itself as a socialist government. But in reality, when you go to Venezuela, the vast majority of life is still managed by the private sector. Venezuela is not like Cuba. It's not like the Soviet Union. They actually learned the lessons, you could say, of those failed models and said, okay, we're not coming in here to run a 100% state top-down economy. That never works. 62% of the economy, according to public data, is run by the private sector. So if you're
let me just stop you right there, because I'm not doubting that's the case. But this is why I get to the oil portion. It's an oil-rich company, and that's where they get into the kind of, we're going to let the state run the oil business.
Yes. Yes. So up until Chavez came to power in 1998, foreign oil companies, mainly those in the United States, ran Venezuela's oil industry, and the IMF ran their domestic economic policy. So they'd never even developed, and this is by design, the neoliberal model that has come out since World War II is there to say, okay, we come in, we take your resources, and you don't actually build your own domestic production capabilities. You're completely dependent on imports and the IMF to get your basic goods and services, as long as you give us the oil. Venezuela has the largest oil deposits, oil reserves in the world, over double what Saudi Arabia has. And we have a long existing relationship since the 1920s of shipping that oil here and pumping it through our gas station. Citgo, you may know as a gas station in the United States, is actually a subsidiary of Venezuela's state oil company. So all the pipelines, all the refineries, all that infrastructure has existed for a century. And not only that, Venezuela has the largest untapped gold deposits in the world and is rich in all the other minerals, rare earth minerals that you could imagine. But if you're talking about gold and oil, the two most valuable things in the human world, it's all there in Venezuela. And the sad thing is, Venezuela isn't, you know, I have sources that work in Wall Street, work in the oil sector, and their greatest obstacle to doing business with the Venezuelan government is not the socialist dictator Maduro, it's the U.S. Treasury Department. It is our sanctions that are so ideologically driven that they're actually working against the interests of the U.S. population at this point. And let me give you an example. You might recall, after the launch of the special military operation in Ukraine, that Biden rolled out an embargo on Russian oil, which a lot of people rightly opposed, because how does it help Americans to cut us off from a supplier of oil that's obviously only going to raise the price of oil in the United States and then everything else, because everything depends on the cost of oil? Well, what people might not realize is that in 2019, when the Trump administration recognized a shadow government in Venezuela and issued a whole litany of sanctions in order to help that regime change scheme along, the U.S. actually placed first an embargo on Venezuelan oil. So Venezuelan oil has been cut off from the United States since 2019. What I show in my book, I have a graph that demonstrates around at that time, Venezuela was supplying about 7% of U.S. oil imports. Overnight, after the Venezuela embargo, Russia gained 7% of our import market. Well, that tells me Russia was probably buying Venezuelan oil and selling it back to us, but like India is now doing with the European Union and Russian sanctions, because our policy is just that backwards. But then when Biden came into the picture and embargoed Russian oil, we lost not only the 7% that we were getting from Russia to help from what we cut off from Venezuela, but also 3% of what Russia had previously supplied. So we cut ourselves off from 10% of our oil imports in just over, 3 years. And so it's no surprise to me now that we're dealing with inflation and, the oil prices are seemingly low now, but we had to let up some of our strategic reserve in order to make that happen. So I'm sitting here as an American wondering, why is this happening? This actually doesn't serve our interests. The policy at this point only served the interests of a tiny elite, these figures that are running the banks and the oil companies that see countries and say, look, we can't even do win-win deals with them. We have to have zero-sum, full, total control, a control that we can't even gain at this point because clearly the Venezuelan state isn't going anywhere. And so I would just like us to take a step back and start interacting with the world based in good faith and, with the actual interests of the U.S. public in mind, not just a few corporate elite. I mean, that's why the resolution of my book is that this corporate coup wasn't just targeting Venezuela. It's actually something that happened in our country a long time ago and prevents us from having a healthy economy. I mean, it's that dynamic that allows someone like John Bolton to say, oh, who cares if millions of migrants come here? That's actually a good thing. Well, not for the American people.
Yeah, it all goes back to Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I believe that was Paul Sperry. He wrote multiple books about that. So it all seems very familiar. And I want to move on to the Israel issue. We're running out of time here. But so I guess, long story short, Maduro is going to stay in power. But is he going to fight Elon Musk?
Well, I'd love to see that personally, just because I wanted to see the Elon Mark Zuckerberg fight too. But I just want to make one last point on Maduro, because this is something that Americans must understand, is that months before the U.S. recognized the shadow government in Venezuela in 2019, Maduro actually lodged a request with the Bank of England to repatriate Venezuela's sovereign gold holdings in London. And miraculously, a few months later, that's when the U.S. says, oh, no, we recognize this other government. London immediately follows suit. And then the Bank of England says, OK, we don't actually know who runs the Venezuelan government, so we have to hold on to this gold indefinitely. And so that is the kind of theft, looting that has gone on as a result of this policy. That's why you see the United States continuing to recognize a shadow government there, because it doesn't actually matter to them who controls Venezuela's borders or their government ministries. They're like, wait, if we recognize the shadow government, London can hang on to what's now billions of dollars worth of gold, keeps going up because the price of gold keeps skyrocketing. It's modern day piracy, and we've done that in the United States too. So I would just juxtapose that, the fact that Maduro tried to repatriate his country's gold, with what's going on in Argentina right now, where Javier Milei was just caught shipping Argentina's sovereign gold deposits offshore. And won't say where it went. I'm willing to bet it was the Bank of England, though.
Oh, well, gee, you want to talk about uncovered news? I hadn't heard that one. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about what's going on in Israel here. Now, what's interesting about this to me is this is actually a big issue now, more so in conservative politics, specifically with younger people. And I get brought this up to me a lot out in public. It gets brought up to me even today. I think the damage that Netanyahu has done to Israel's public image is irreversible at this point, but he seems to be unabashed in moving forward with current policy in Gaza, or really just towards anybody. I mean, really, he just seems to be on a complete rampage. I don't know how else to describe it. But what in the heck is going on where recently we saw protests, but this is the kind of stuff where it's just like, are you trying to win over the world or what's going on? Protests that IDF soldiers can rape their prisoners of war. What is that about?
It's something that you really couldn't make up if you tried.
Yeah, actually, I said that. I said, okay, who had IDF fighting to rape their prisoners of war on their bingo card? Can somebody declare bingo so we can stop playing?
Yeah, it's like too much of a – we had like – Trump assassination, Biden coup, Israeli rape protests. We need to slow down this summer. It's too much for me. But so basically what happened is, after October 7th, the Israeli army set up effectively a concentration camp for all of the prisoners and people that they take out of Gaza and are torturing in order to gain information or wage this war that they're waging against the Gazan people right now. And because there's been so much noise in the United States about Israeli human rights abuses, and the Biden administration's line has been, well, we're letting the Israelis investigate themselves. Great. The Israelis did arrest 9 soldiers that were documented for having carried out just brutal rapes of men in their jails. And this was Israel's way of saying, look, we're able to actually hold our own accountable. Like, oh, we're jailing these rapists. But unfortunately for Israel, their society is so hell-bent on this idea of Jewish supremacy. They actually, their army rabbi has said it's permitted for Jews to rape non-Jews, and it's not a crime, that people went out in the streets to try and break these prisoners out of jail and say that, look, we actually have the right to rape. And yeah, it's not something that I think any normal society or human being could actually fathom, there being mass protests in this way in Israel. And the crazy part is, it's not Netanyahu. Netanyahu would like for these prisoners to stay in jail because it's his way of telling the U.S., look, we're capable of these investigating ourselves. But his more moderate figures within the government, such as the president, President Herzog, has actually said that these figures shouldn't be prosecuted. It's not only the most radical, extreme, messianic, orthodox, or Zionist elements in Israel. It's even just the so-called liberal president from the Labor Party that says these people are innocent. And the cherry on top of all of this, Owen, is I think I saw one of the craziest headlines. I said it was the craziest headline I've ever read in my life, is a quote from one of the wives of the Israeli soldiers accused in this rape.
Yeah, basically said it's forgivable. She didn't care. Well, I've got 60 seconds left with you. I'm just curious. I see all the Hezbollah strikes and people firing at Israel. I feel like it's all for show. I don't think anybody – I think Israel knows nobody really is going to hold them accountable for anything they're doing. But yet at the same time, if I was an Israeli citizen – I'd be concerned that Netanyahu's actions are putting us closer to imminent danger. So in the last 30 seconds, if you just want to reply to that.
Yeah, Israel eventually will, I think, get hit in a way where the Israeli public that's not used to actually having consequences for their war will either leave and probably go back to where they hold all their dual passports. Unfortunately, that means some of them might be in New York City. But I don't think Israel can withstand this. And I think 10 years from now, we'll be looking back at October 7th as the beginning of the end of Israel.
Yeah, they'll be in New York City, and then they'll be next to the Palestinian team, too. And that'll be fun to have in our streets, because that's what we need. Anya Parampil, thank you so much for your great coverage and great work. Follow her on X at Anya Parampil, thegrayzone.com.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only 2 ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWars. LiquidTinctureStore.com and get it now, because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in BrainForce Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. BrainForce Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.